Father, thank you so much for your presence in this place. God, we definitely indeed are expecting great things. Father, thank you that there is no distance in the spirit. Thank you that your presence that is here is also present with those that are watching us by LeroyThompson.tv. Now, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to help us this morning. You're the only one. You're the very Spirit of God. You know the mind of God. And so I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to help us, to escort us into the supernatural so that we can clearly understand God's agenda for our lives. We give you all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. What a wonderful week. Last night was awesome. Yes, it was. Last night was awesome. Different. But it was a good, awesome different. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. On yesterday morning, we began to talk about having faith in God. Right. More specifically, having faith in God when it comes to his system of seed, time, and harvest. And so we begin to deal with the time part, because that's the part that tends to frustrate us, that tends to trip us up, that tends to cause us to panic, because we think certain things are not going to happen. And so we found out that in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, that God gave us the three things that we needed to prosper. He gave us life. He gave us dominion. And he gave us the seed. And so in having faith in God, or having trust and confidence in God, which means I have trust and confidence in, number one, who he is, and I have trust and confidence in what he has said. So if I can have trust and confidence in what he has said, then I can have trust and confidence in what he is saying.
Right.
See, that's the point we have to get to. We not only need to have trust in what he has said and confidence in what he has said, we need to have trust and confidence in what he is saying. Isaiah 48, here's why. Here's why you have to have faith in God, not faith in his principles without him, but faith in God. And because I have faith in God, I can trust and have confidence that when I do operate in his principles by his instructions, that they're going to work on my behalf. Are you seeing this? So Isaiah 48, 17, watch this. Isaiah 48, 17. We've read this scripture over and over again. Well, watch this. Thus saith the Lord, thy what?
Redeemer.
Meaning he's putting us back in a former position. What former position? The former position that you don't have to struggle to be rich. You don't have to struggle to be wealthy because you already are.
Yes. Yes.
In the garden, remember life, dominion, and seed. That is how the kingdom is designed. That is who we are. We have life, not just your breathing in and out. I'm talking about Zoe. The God kind of life. See, don't think for a minute that when God breathed in the man that he just gave you oxygen.
Come on now.
There's some unseen supernatural things that God placed on the inside of us.
Yes.
So life, I'm talking about, let me say this. Zoe, the God kind of life, dominion, and seed. Now, here it is. He's saying, the prophet Isaiah is saying, this is what God is saying. He's saying, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God. I am your creator. I put everything in you that you're going to need to prosper. So I'm going to teach you. I'm the one that's going to lead you to I'm going to lead you to manifestation.
Yes, sir.
Watch this. Watch this. Now, watch what it says. He says, thus said the Lord, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. Now, you Hebrew, you go to the Hebrew, the Greek, whatever you go to, in this case is the Hebrew, you look at that word profit, it is talking about money.
Yes, sir.
He said, now he said, I will teach thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Once again, here we are. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. So, if I do not have faith in God, then I won't rely on what he's saying.
Right.
See, what happens is we take Luke 6:38.
Right.
And we try to make it a principle without the principle giver.
Right.
So we figure if we do that part and not let him continue to teach us. Now, after you give, teaching begins. After you give, now the teaching begins because now he got to teach you how to handle the harvest that's coming. So watch this. Let me get to it. There it is. Go to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. Watch this. Go to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. Glory to God. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Now, we've thought this scripture was talking about giving.
Okay.
Because we were trying to work a principle without the principle giver. Come on, walk with me now. Walk with me. I know I'm challenging your religion right now, your theology. We thought this was talking about giving. But it says, honor the Lord with thy substance.
Okay.
So that means when I honor the Lord with my substance, that means he's first on my mind whenever I receive money. So if I honor the Lord, I want to find out what he wants to do first. He may tell me do this and he may tell me do that. But we think if we just give that God is no longer, watch this, when we give, we now on our own instructions. So this is why tithe gets some people in trouble because they give the 10th, but they won't listen to God about the 90. He said, I'm thy God, thy Redeemer. I'm trying to bring you back to a former position.
That's good.
I've already set up for you to get back to that former position, but now I got to teach you how to get there.
Come on now.
You're designed, you're programmed, you have been ordained before the foundations of the earth to be in the position of wealth, but you're going to have to let me teach you.
All right.
Wow. That's good.
Come on,
doctor.
Thank you. Jesus. Let's read further. Watch what it says. He says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. What that's simply saying is, listen, every time you get money into your hands, the first person ought to cross your mind is God and what he wants to do. Watch this. Not what I can buy.
Yeah.
Not what I can do with this money. Listen. Your savings account, listen to this, you'll never forget this. Your savings account is not for your, is not for you to protect yourself in the future.
Come on now.
Your savings account is simply seed that I don't have yet instructions for. So with that mindset, that means God not only is giving me instructions on the 10%,
yes.
but he can give me instructions on the 90. Put that together and it's 100. God can give me instructions on all of my money. Now, if I have faith in God, right? I trust what he has said. I'm trusting what he is saying. So that means that when God begins to teach me how to profit, I don't have to have any fear.
Yes, sir.
That's good. That's good.
But you cannot have trust. See, yesterday I said that when you spend time with God, it takes you on the inside.
Yes, yes.
When you eat right, it takes you on the inside. And when you sow right, it takes you on the inside. So therefore, when I spend time with God, it takes me on the inside. So when it takes me on the inside and I spend time with him, then I can clearly hear what God is saying. Now, I can clearly hear what God's saying about my money. Now, here's the thing. It does not matter where you are right now financially.
Right. Amen.
Right.
It does not matter. As a matter of fact, this is what Jesus was saying, how hard it's going to be for those that are rich to enter into the kingdom, God's ways of doing things. Pretty much, if you start off understanding and learning things with less, it's going to be easier.
Right.
Why? Because you need him.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you need him. You need to hear his voice. So it does not matter what financial situation you're in. It doesn't matter what level you own financially. It doesn't matter how much you have. If you begin to allow God to teach you how to profit, now, I don't know why we don't take this literally. We're always trying to spiritualize everything. This is Isaiah simply saying what God is saying. He's saying our creator, the Lord our God, is teaching us how to profit. Go to Isaiah. Isaiah, the first chapter. Isaiah, the first chapter. Isaiah, the first chapter. I'm looking, I'm finna get another translation because I want you to see it. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 119, now the King James Version says, watch this. Verse 19. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Now, why do we apply these scriptures to the actions of our life, but we won't apply this scripture to the money in our life? So let's think about this. If I am willing and obedient with the seed.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What's going to happen?
Yeah.
See, we thought that was just about our actions.
Yes, sir.
Like if I pray, if I praise, if I worship him, if I do all the spiritual accolades. But we won't apply. See, we won't apply this to our money.
Good.
Yet, in Isaiah 48, he said, I'm going to teach you how to profit.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, you know, if he's going to teach us how to profit, it's got to involve the seed.
Right.
Because in Genesis 8, 22, he says, as long as the earth remained, it'd be seed. So he can't teach you to profit if you ain't willing to listen to anything about the seed.
Right.
Come on.
So now if you just go ahead and make up your mind that I'm just not going to just tithe. Now, I know I'm talking to mature Christians. And so when I talk about tithing, I know there's some people watching that maybe baby Christians don't understand the purpose of tithing. And maybe somebody have taught them wrong about tithing, or somebody have told them, if you tithe, everything going to be okay. No, everything going to be okay if you just tithe.
Right.
The Bible says in Malachi 3:10 that he'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, but he ain't never said that he's going to increase you.
That's right.
But he did say, I'm going to pull you out an empowerment to prosper.
That's right.
You still going to have to obey.
Amen.
So I can't just stick with the tithe, and I can't, I can, but I won't be effective if I just try to figure out myself on what to sow. Yeah. Not only what to sow, but how to handle the other part of my money. I have to get, I have to make up my mind that all my money is seed.
Yeah.
See, when I say that word seed, in your mind, you've already thinking you got to give it all away. That ain't what I said. That's not what I said. All of it is seed. Remember, Pastor Walker said that the kingdom of God is a seed sowing kingdom. So God's ways of doing everything is by seed. So some of your money is seed for pleasure. But the problem is we hadn't let God decide which part of it is. Do you realize? Do you realize that a lot of these companies, these marketing agencies, these advertising agencies, they hire behavioral psychologists. Now, the reason why they hire behavioral psychologists is because they want to analyze the human behavior so they can curtail their advertisement to trigger a response out of you. Yes. This is why you have to go to Romans 12 and 2. It says, be not conformed to this world. Don't think like this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that you can prove or recognize or be able to receive or be able to recognize when it's not the will of God. See, I'll be able to prove and recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But if my mind renewed, I'll be able to recognize if it's not God's will for me to have this right now. Oh, let's deal with this time. Watch this. See, God is so wonderful.
Yes, he is.
Here it is. God is now teaching us through apostle how to take care of our health. So automatically, when you take care of your health, you add time to your life. So if I got more time added to my life, then I ain't got to be rushing to get nothing out of season. So that means I can take my time to hear the voice of God and let him teach me how to profit. See, we sometimes you think that these things are not connected. No, these things are connected. It's a reason why Apostle, the Holy Spirit, the God drove him deep into health and just telling us, don't eat this and don't eat this and don't eat this. Eat this, eat this, eat this. Because here it is, God is expanding our time here on earth so he has more time to teach us how to profit so that we can stand strong and call and we can be, watch this, we can build cities through the through our prosperity. So God is there to teach us to profit. Go to Psalms 119. While you're going to Psalms, you turn to Psalms 119. I want to read this out the Message Bible, Isaiah 119. He says, let me get there. He says, if you will willingly obey, you'll feast like kings. Even what you still turn to Psalms 119, right? Even that first, the scripture before. See, we read 19, but very seldom do we read 18. Isaiah, matter of fact, go back there. Go back. Hold your finger in Psalms 119, and we go back to Isaiah 118. He says, come down. And let us what?
Reason
together. In other words, let's put our minds together. He says, though your sins, now don't just get to you talking, don't get to your cardinal sins. Let's use this word actions. Though your actions, you got some money in your hand, God then sent you some money, you got some extra money in your hand, you got your paycheck in your hand, and you have decided this is what you're going to do.
All right.
But those actions are separating you from God's purpose for you. So therefore, though my actions be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow after I get through reasoning with God.
Yes, sir.
Let him teach me how to profit.
Yes, sir.
Yesterday, I was not playing yesterday when I said, I wasn't playing yesterday when I said, take your check. Sit it down. Sit it down. Pause. See, the market is already going. The market is already there. And see, some of y'all scared God gonna tell you to give your mortgage away. That means you ain't got a faith.
You don't have right.
Come on, yeah.
Cause I ain't say God was gonna tell you to give your mortgage away.
Come on.
Did I say that?
No.
All I'm saying is give God a chance to have some input.
Yeah.
Put this now. I'm setting you up to. I'm setting you up for. I'm creating a culture for you, a wealth culture for you that you can continually flow in wealth.
Right.
Now stop thinking about, when I say wealth, stop thinking about your bank account being loaded. That's a result of wealth. It starts off on the inside of you. So you can't wait till you get the money to start a culture. Or to start a mindset, or to start a way of thinking. You got to start thinking this way right now with what you have.
Yes.
Jesus said, if you're not faithful over
you.
So therefore, this mindset has to start right where you are right now. So you set that check down, you set that money down. Every money that come into my house, I give myself. I say, I'm not doing nothing with this. I'm literally do this. I'm not doing nothing with this money.
Right.
Nothing. Yeah. And if God don't tell me do nothing, that's when it goes in the savings account.
All right.
Amen. Until, and then I let God know, God is right there for when you, if you tell me to spend it on me, if you tell me to sow it to somebody, or tell me to help this particular thing, or do this, then the money is still there waiting on you. Because watch this, I have faith in God. See, we have got accustomed to equating our efforts to our income. See, when you equate your efforts to your income, you figure you got to work to get it. But when you have faith in God, it's not about work. It's about obedience. It's about, can God trust you?
Yeah.
It's about, can God give you X amount of dollars because he know he got this project that he want to get done. He got this person life he want to touch. He got this he want to do in the future. Is that money still going to be there when he come looking for it? See, because if that money, see, what we, Romans, I mean, 2 Corinthians 9 and 10, he said he minister seed to the sower, and we forget this part. And bread for your food.
Yeah. Right.
So while that money is sitting there, God will send you more money to get what you want.
Yeah.
But you got to be able to hear his voice.
Yes, sir.
Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Watch this. Psalms 119. I think it's 105. Verse 105. Yes. This is the psalmist David. This is what he said. Thy word is a what?
Lamp.
Unto my feet and a what?
Light.
So that means if his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, that means I can walk into the unknown with God. I can walk in mysteries. That means I might not know what my financial future holds. But if I trust God and his word, his direction, his instructions, then it's going to light.
Come on.
My path.
Yes, sir.
It's going. See, here is God. Here is the psalmist David is saying, God, now once again, we've applied this scripture only to our spiritual accolade actions, if you allow me to say it that way.
Right.
You know, if God tells me to do this, or if God tells me to whatever it may be, y'all get what I'm saying, our spiritual accolades, like our spiritual stuff that we like to do.
Right.
But we won't apply this scripture to your money. He said, thy word or his instructions.
Yeah.
I think it is the Message Bible. He says, truth helps me with my decisions and choices.
Mm. Wow.
Right. Yes, sir.
So the words, his word helps me with my decisions and choices. So his word helps me with my decisions and choices when it comes to my money. Where is money supposed to go? When should I buy this? God, should I get this now or should I wait? Have you ever asked him that? Have you ever asked, God, should I get this right now or should I wait? This, Lord have mercy. This is why you got to have temperance. You got to have self-control. Because you got to be able to tell yourself, self, no. God said no. We not getting this right now.
Right.
And not be worried about time.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Luke, the 12th chapter. Here's where God doesn't want us to get. And Jesus gave a parable. And we've used that parable for so long to keep people broke or to tell people you just stay humble. You don't need no money. We use this parable and they taught this parable absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus said what he said.
Right. He said what he said.
So he didn't need none of us coming behind him trying to reinterpret what he said. All we got to do is see what he said.
Yes, sir.
It was already a heavenly truth with an earthly example. It was already simple.
Yes.
So why are we trying to complicate this?
Yeah.
Watch this. Luke, the 12th chapter. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Watch this. Luke, let me get to it, the 12th chapter. Let's see. Verse 15. Now let me read a little further, because you got to realize that the 12th chapter of Luke is a continuation of the 11th chapter and the 10th chapter. I know sometimes we read the Bible and divide it up, but Jesus, it seems to me that it didn't say on tomorrow in none of the passages. It didn't say on the next day. It didn't say, and when it came to pass, and so Jesus seemed like he was teaching all day.
Yes, sir.
And if you read the 10th and 11th chapter, you see that Jesus was dealing with different principles about life and different things that we should be doing. And here it is, Jesus doing all this teaching and telling them how to live the Zoe, the God kind of life. And here this guy come. Verse 13, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Jesus answered him and said, man, who made me a judge over you to divide you? That ain't between you and your brother. What Jesus was saying is, if you'd have heard what I've been saying, you wouldn't have to worry about that inheritance. Because you have a greater inheritance. If you let me teach you.
Yes, sir.
See, y'all get to fussing and fighting over money. Why are you fussing and fighting over something that God has an oversupply of? I know why you're fussing and fighting. You're fussing and fighting because you don't have faith in God, because you're not trusting him with the seed. Now you're not trusting with the seed, but you're not trusting with your other part of your money.
Right.
That's
Yes, sir.
So therefore, you got to scramble and fight with other people over what they only can see.
Right.
But you have eyes to see in an unseen world. You have eyes to see unlimited abundance.
Unlimited abundance.
All right, watch this now. Luke, and let's get the 15th verse. And he said unto them, now listen to this. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Now, man, wait a minute. Is this Jesus telling me I don't need stuff? No, that's not Jesus telling you don't need stuff. Because in John 10:10, Jesus said the thief coming out but to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, I've come that you might have
life
and have it
more
abundantly.
Right.
All right, the God kind of life, right?
Right.
So here it is, Jesus saying, listen, your life don't consist in what you have.
Come on. Yeah. Mm.
So now if my life don't consist in what I have, what does my life consist of? Mm-hmm. My life consists of me trusting, having faith in God and going through the process. See, the joy in life is working God's principle and seeing results. That's the joy of life. When you obey God and you see results from you obeying God, that's what life consists of. How I know life consists of? Because God gave us life in Genesis and he gave us dominion and the seed. Why did Adam and Eve, now watch this. You're not going to forget this. Why did Adam and Eve mess up? Why? How did they mess up? They messed up because they stopped getting instructions from God. They started getting instructions from other sources.
Yes, sir. Right.
So now what if we apply this to our finances?
Yeah, yeah.
If I stop getting instruction from other sources, if I stop listening at the textbook. See, some of y'all think when Apostle says, I'm saying this respectfully because he said it. He said, I'm not that smart. He's not saying he's not intelligent. That's not what he said. He said, I'm not going to allow my intelligence to override the voice of God in my life. See, I'm not, he said, I don't know how all this happened.
Yeah, right.
But he know he heard God. He know what he did.
I don't
have to know how the harvest is coming.
Uh-huh.
I just got to know what to do during the time.
Right.
See, I need to understand what I need to do during the time. When I sow the seed, the time in between, I got to be able to hear God. And the time in between, I can't say this enough. The time in between means you not only heard God with the seed, but you heard God with the rest.
Right.
See, there are behavioral psychologists. There are behavioral psychologists that these companies design to trigger a response out of you to get your seed out of you.
Right. 100%. And
you'll find yourself in trouble if you taking seed that God was that was for his kingdom and you mix it up with seed that was for your pleasure.
Right.
See, am I going to let God teach me how to profit? See, listen, God ain't giving you no grand business idea if you can't handle what you got.
Right, 100%.
Well, Jesus said, if I can't trust you in an unrighteous mammon, who will commit your trust?
Yes, sir.
Come on. If you can't hear my voice with what you have now,
right.
I know you're not going to hear my voice if you get more.
Yeah. Right. Yes, sir.
He says, life does not consist in the possessions that a man has. Then he went into a parable. He said, and the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. That sounds like God to me.
Yes, sir.
What it says, the ground of a certain rich man, the ground. Meaning he was sowing. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. That sounds like God to me.
See,
when you read this parable with religious eyes, you already made this rich man into an evil person.
Yeah.
Well, how can this man be evil?
Uh-huh.
when all he doing, he working a principle that God says as long as the earth remaining.
Yes.
So first of all, get that out of your mind. Because a shift going to happen in this parable. A shift is going to happen. I'm going to show you where this shift is going to happen. And this is why Jesus gave us this parable, because he does not want us to get to this point. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Now, still ain't nothing wrong with him. Still ain't nothing wrong with him. Because if you plant a seed, most supposed to come back. Nothing is wrong with him. He said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with all this stuff, so I'm going to just build bigger barns so I can hold all this stuff.
Right.
Yes.
Do you remember my earlier statement?
Right. You don't know what to do.
If you don't know what to do with it,
right,
put it in the savings.
Right.
My savings account is not to protect me in my future.
Right.
My seed protects my future.
Right.
My savings account is simply seed that I don't have yet instructions for.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So that's all this, that's all he's doing.
Yeah.
Right. All right, that's all he's doing. Watch this.
Hey.
Verse 19 is when the shift takes place.
Right.
And I will say to my soul, now he's getting beside himself because he said, I will say to my soul. Now watch this. Uh-huh. I don't know about your Bible, but in my Bible, soul is capitalized. The S on soul is capitalized, which means he's now put himself over God. He's put himself over God, because when you capitalize something, that means you give it dominance. So he done put his way of thinking over God's way of thinking. Now it was God's way of thinking that caused the harvest and the bigger barn. But because he didn't know what to do, he got anxious. And he said, soul, watch that. Why he said, soul, he said, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Yeah. Didn't I tell you your savings account is not to protect your future? Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool. Now, why did he use the word fool? He used the word fool because just a moment ago, you were smart.
Right.
But soon as you put yourself over me, you became a fool. So the question, I'm talking to myself because I've done this too. How many foolish purchases have we made? How many times? See, here's the thing. The mercy of God is with us. His mercies are renewed every day. And his grace is with us also. So I don't need you to be going back and being like, oh, man. I just need you to realize, oh, that's what's happening to me. This will not happen no more. Remember now, I said yesterday, seed time. Time, the time in between the seed and the harvest is not based on the devil.
Okay.
It's not based on God.
Uh-huh.
It's based on
me.
So if I begin to properly manage that time,
right.
What I mean by properly manage that time, I take the lessons.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I take the no's.
Yeah.
I take the yays.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And during the time, I learn the lessons I need to learn, so that when the harvest shows up, Satan can't rob me. The world system can't rob me. Nobody can't talk me out of my seed. Nobody can't jam me out of my seed. Even if I'm in church and they start giving out numbers, if God hadn't spoke to me, I ain't got to move. Because during this time, I've learned.
Yes, sir.
He said, thou fool. thy food. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? God is telling him, now you gone tonight. Now who gonna enjoy this stuff now? Who gonna enjoy this stuff that you produce with my intelligence?
Yeah.
See, y'all don't realize this actually happened in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
This actually happened in the Bible in Acts, the 5th chapter. This actually happened in the Bible in Acts, the 5th chapter. Yeah. Some people called Ananias and Sapphira used the power of God.
Come on, sir.
And then reneged.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they were playing spades.
Yep. Yes, sir.
So, oh God, we change our mind. Oh God, this money, so much of this money come in. Oh Lord. See, this is why Christians who win the lottery don't keep it.
Right.
That's why you shouldn't play it.
Yeah. Right.
Cause if you win the lottery, you finna get yourself into an area for which you're not prepared for.
Yeah, right.
And you and for the love of money.
Uh-huh. Right. Yes, sir.
Now watch this. Verse 21. It says, so is he that laid up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. That ain't a spiritual term either. Rich toward God. That simply means rich for God.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So if you're laying up treasure for yourself, then that means you're not rich for God. So that means if you labored your savings account, if you have labored your retirement, that God can't tell me nothing about this. God can't give me no instructions. God can't teach me nothing about my retirement. God can't, with the money that's in my, God can't, I ain't messing with none of that, because God, you know that's for when I ain't working no more.
Right.
That means you are, when you say, God, that's for when I ain't working no more, that means God's saying, wait a minute, you don't trust me.
Yeah.
Right.
Hold on. Did I say that God was coming to tell you to sow your retirement? Did I say that? I didn't say that. I didn't say that. It may be some moves that God wants you to make. Some instructions that he wants you to follow. Some things that God knows that you don't know, that nobody else don't know. And you'll be, the passage of scripture of the Bible, he was telling some guys in the Old Testament, I'm paraphrasing, buy this, get these things this day, because tomorrow they're going to be selling for a certain price.
That's right.
That was instructions from God. That was God teaching them to profit. So here it is. What I'm trying to get you to see. Don't be following all the investment strategies.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Come on. Because a lot of those investment strategies are designed to make other people rich.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes.
You get with God.
Yes, sir.
And say, God, tell me what to do with this money.
Yes.
If God don't tell you nothing to do with this money, sit it there and let it burn you. You know how they say money be burning, your pocket be burning? Just let it burn you. Just let it burn you. Let it sit there and let it burn. Let it burn you until you sit long enough in time to hear the voice of God. There's nowhere in the Bible you can find anywhere that God gave anybody instructions with their money and they lost. Every time God gives you instructions concerning your money, not only just the rest of your life, but with your money, you're going to come out on top.
Yes,
every time.
Every time.
So why am I trusting these strategies? Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew's the 6th chapter. verse 19. Verse 19. Now you're about to understand what this scripture is really saying. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. Now you about to understand what this scripture is meaning. It's not saying that you shouldn't have excess or you shouldn't have a savings account. What he's saying is, don't trust the world system with what to do with it. See, when you begin to try to totally trust this world system, listen, they print more money right now. Now, wait a minute. I keep saying they. Who is they? Let me tell you who they is. They is not the government. They is not your family. They is not the person you hate. They is not the person that want to do you evil. They is Satan. If you ever want to find out, when somebody come to you and say, they said, are they trying to do this to you? Don't try to figure out who it is. Just know it's Satan. So therefore, you ain't got to focus on who they is. So now I take my focus over who they is and trying to combat what they doing and simply obey God and what he's telling me to do. See, they in their own mind may think they have good intentions. But they don't know that their good intentions is not good for me. So I'm not going to sit there and fight they. I'm not going to sit there and fight what they're doing. I'm just going to simply obey God. For your treasure, that's where your heart will be also. So if your treasure is in the hand of God, what I mean by the hand of God, you've turned over your treasure to God and say, God, everything I have. I have not one account, not one piece of property, not one asset that God can't come and get when he get ready.
That's right. My Lord. That's right. Come on,
sir. 1 Timothy 6. You think we're going to 10, but I'm not. I'm almost finished. 1 Timothy 6. Praise God. See, you this week we've been imparted so much stuff. You need the sowing anointing. You can't do this in the flesh. You need to be anointed to sow. Because there are so many things coming at you, so many opportunities coming at you, so many possible troubles that want your money coming at you. That you got to be able to look some of them troubles in the eye and say, you gonna wait. God told me so this. 1 Timothy 6. Watch this. Look at, I'm in Hebrew. Let me get to 1 Timothy. A couple books back. 1 Timothy 6. Look at verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now, this scripture often is taken out of its setting so we can talk about faith. But look, pay attention to the setting that this scripture is in. Now we can go to verse 10. Look at verse 10. It says, for the love of money is the root to all evil. Look at verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some covet after, they err from the faith and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Notice he didn't say flee the money.
Yes, sir.
Notice he didn't say flee the money.
Yeah.
What he said flee from? Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. He said, but they which will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. He didn't say flee the money. He said flee what could possibly happen when you have a lot of money. So that means God is expecting you to have a lot of money. Yeah. So he's giving you instructions on how to behave with the money. God is expecting you to be wealthy. He expects you to manifest more than you can handle. He expects you more than you can spend on me. He expects you to have more than enough. Why would he give us these instructions if he wasn't expecting it? I don't care where you are right now financially. God expects you to be rich. I want to shut up all the naysayers about this prosperity gospel. God expects you to have more than enough. Why would he give us instructions in 1 Timothy 6 and 10 if he didn't expect us to be rich? See, you may be seated. See, once again, we read the Bible with our religious eyes. As soon as I said rich men, we automatically discounted ourselves. We disconnected ourselves because, I know verse 10. Verse 10 coming. Yes. So rich man in that night verse is talking about you.
Yeah.
God don't want you to fall into these destructions and perditions.
Right.
So here it is. So now he go to verse 12. Well, let me read verse 11. I'm almost finished. Verse 11, he said, but thou, O man of God,
yes.
Thou, O man of God. That's telling us that in that ninth verse, they that will be rich was talking about us.
Yeah.
Thou, O man of God, thou, O woman of God.
Yeah.
God expects, see now, if you walk out of here today, if you walk out of here this morning and think, God, I don't know if this is going to happen for me. Shame on you. Because here in his own word, we hear him giving us instructions and telling us, thou, O man of God, flee from the temptations of being rich. Notice what I said. Flee from the temptations of being rich. We've been trying to flee from the temptation without being rich. You ain't got nothing to flee from. That concept of you got to be poor to be holy, that's them trying to flee from something they not.
Yeah. Come on, sir.
Because you ain't gonna handle temptations until they show up. This is why you got to give God the whole 100, because it doesn't stop after you sow the seed. In that time, temptation gonna come. So you got to be able to hear the voice of God during the time so that, watch this. See, God, long as earth remains, seed time and harvest. So your whole life has been operating off of seed time and harvest, whether you know it or not.
Yeah.
So you've been sowing seed, but what you've been doing during the time. Because what you're doing during the time prolongs the harvest showing up.
Right.
So this is why we got to get this time thing down.
Yep.
What am I doing during the time? I'm not conforming to this world system. I'm not letting them define what wealth is for me. I'm not going to buy something because they say it make me look rich.
Right.
I'm not going to buy something because they saying it's about me. Right. No, I'm going to hear the voice of God.
Yep.
Don't you think God wants you to have nice things?
Yep.
He said in Matthew 6:32,
yep.
He said, watch, he said in Matthew 6:32 that the Gentiles seek after these things.
Yes.
But your heavenly Father knows, now watch, y'all like the nose part, he knows that you have
need
of these things. Let me finish this. Let's finish this. You may be seeing, let's finish this. He said, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after right. We thought they were talking about just staying out of sin.
Right.
No, it's talking about follow his right way of doing things.
Yes, sir.
sir.
Righteousness, goodness, faith, love, patience.
Yeah.
Time. You got to have patience. They that wait upon the Lord. Another one is in Psalms. He said, God, they was getting in trouble. And he said, I'ma wait on you. I'ma wait on you till you get your mind right. Uh-huh. Then when you get your mind right, then I'ma need you to wait on me.
Yeah.
So I can check and see if I can trust you or not. Because if you wait on me, then your life is gonna flow like a river of peace.
Yes, sir.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Yeah.
Watch this. So you gotta have patience.
Yeah.
All right, patience. All right, he says, verse 12. Now see where this scripture is dropped in this setting. He says, because a lot of times we lift the scripture out of this setting.
Right, right.
But now we're gonna put it back in its setting.
Yes, sir.
He says, fight the good fight of
faith.
Have faith in God.
Yes, sir.
So he said, fight the good fight of faith. That means God ain't never one time said that temptation wasn't gonna come when that money show up.
Right.
He never said that. But he said, fight the good faith. The good fight of faith. What does that mean when you say fight the good fight? That simply means if you just simply relax and wait.
Yeah, yeah.
And let me talk to you.
Easy.
It really ain't gonna be no fight.
Come on.
It really ain't gonna be no fight.
Yeah.
The only fight you're really gonna have is with your soul.
Yeah.
But if you renew your mind, that ain't gonna be no fight.
Yeah.
So fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on this. See, y'all thought they were talking about heaven. But it's talking about eternal life. Do you know that your eternal life is starting right now?
Right now.
Forever is forever.
Yeah.
Forever starts right now and go on into eternity.
Yeah.
So why are y'all waiting for heaven?
Yeah, right.
He said, present tense, hold on eternal God kind of life.
Yeah.
That means you ought to start living the life of God now.
Right now.
Really, to be honest, the only difference you should have when you go to heaven is another body.
Yes, sir.
That's the only, because you shouldn't be up there shocked with the streets of gold.
Right.
You should be shocked with streets of gold because you got gold down here.
Right.
You
right.
should be shocked with the pearly gates because you got pearls down here.
Right.
The only thing you should be shocked about is, man, how good my body looks.
Yeah.
Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art called, it's ordained, and has professed a good profession. This is where God, you start thinking, we think that's just us. Notice it says profession. You think that's how you talk. How you talk again about God. No, our profession. Who you profess to be. So now, see, when you fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, you start displaying heaven right now for where you was already ordained to be anyway. Then you start professing. You start displaying. You start showing, watch this, before many witnesses. So Jesus said, if I be lifted up, he said, I will draw all men unto me. That means when you start living the life, the Zoe, the God kind of life that he's designed for you, you're going to start attracting people. Listen, there's many times I'm in a restaurant and I give a person a tip. They look at the tip. And then I say, let me ask you a question. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? If I ask you if you're born again, what you going to say? They look at the tip and they're going to say, one lady told me, she say, she look at the tip, she say, yeah, maybe I ought to do this. Maybe. She said, what I got to do? And I led her into the sinner's prayer and she got born again. That wasn't me trying to preach a whole sermon to her. That was her simply looking at the tip and me asking her, hey, do you know Jesus? So obviously she equated my ability to do that. I'm done, sir. You may be seated. Lift your hand and either offer an envelope to us and I'll serve you. Hallelujah. Can you get my offer ready, please? Praise God.